use additives. This is SCOPA, and members of the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs have joined us this morning. Yes, sir, can you finalize the administration very quickly, please? Deputy Minister, we thank you once again for being here, and we welcome the delegations from Northwest who are here this morning. We welcome COCTA, and we welcome SALGA. I suppose I'm going to now have to wait for 2 minutes and we sort out this mass movement of All right, have we all done the informal pleasantries now? I'm going to start a system of finding people for late arrival because they disturb. Right, colleagues, as you are aware, we are continuing with our hearings. To the delegations present, to put into context, we received a report, as is customary, from the Auditor General on the audit outcomes of municipalities. It emerged out of that hearing and briefing from the Auditor General that there were municipalities whom I can only categorize as serial offenders, who had received disclaimers or adverse findings for a period of 3 years or more, and in the view of the committee, such a situation was unacceptable. It should not be that there will be any government entity or department or local government that finds itself as a repeat offender. If audit processes are adhered to, sound financial management and adherence to treasury regulations and the AMFMA, and just the moral conscience of patriotism, we will not have this problem. So we have scheduled, therefore, the 13-14 municipalities that the Auditor General has flagged, notwithstanding the fact that there are 48 other municipalities whom the AG says require intervention. The PC on COCTA, which is present here, will deal with those at the appropriate time within their own program. Ours is triggered by the audit outcomes. So we are here in this meeting, honorable colleagues, to ask one fundamental question. What killed the patient? And our attempt is to begin a process of resurrecting that patient. It is, to us, unacceptable in every material respect. There is one municipality that has a disclaimer for 10 years consecutively. We will deal with that one as well. So it is when such things happen that we are concerned. So the Deputy Minister who's here was here with us yesterday as well. I have noted the apology of the DM, who will have to leave the Cabinet later on, but we thank him for taking the time to be here on this early morning. So, colleagues, you are welcome. To use the words of one colleague, this trip to Cape Town was not necessary. In our view, it's a junket, because if everybody did what they were supposed to do, you wouldn't be here. our view, we want government departments and entities and local government to render us jobless. The people seated here want to be jobless, because if everybody does the right thing, there's no scope. We exist because everybody is doing what they're not supposed to be doing. So what we have done is that we have allocated each municipality to one member. I note that some municipalities have sent presentations. We thank you for those. They're good for the context of reading, background reading. But our primary focus is on the audit outcomes. So each municipality has been allocated to one member of the committee. That member, I'll be very strict to time today, colleagues. So that member will be given 30 to 45 minutes, and you will field their questions. So it's one question, one response. When they are done, the members will then come in of the committee to close the gaps, because ours is to understand what happened, what killed the patient. And I must say, I heard one municipality say, we are in the ICU and we want to go to the general ward. No, no, no. All the municipalities who have been called are not in ICU. They are all in the mortuary. We are taking them from the mortuary to the ICU to the general ward and then discharge them. That's how seriously we view this. We are not here to dictate your policies. We are here to follow rents and cents and exercise oversight and accountability. So with that, welcome. So we will kick off the bat this morning, and I will put a disclaimer now. Not that I like disclaimers, but in this instance I will. Honorable Somio will be first off the bat with Lee Kwa. How do I proceed with that? So because I've been receiving too many pronunciations, so I don't want to mess it up. So we will start off with Ligwa. So if the delegation can, maybe let me just check, is with another district present? Right, welcome. Ligwa? What does on the way mean? We scheduled for 8:30. That's non-compliance from the word go. Okay, on the way where? Right, so the full complement of the delegation is not there. Madibeng? All right. Mamosa? Mamosa? Honorable Tolashe, it seems we'll start off with you, and then we'll go to Lagos. So, Madibeng is present. Right, welcome. So, Honorable Tolashe is responsible for your municipality. So, can we get an introduction of who's here from Madibeng, and then so that we know who we are talking to. I know that last night the Northern Cape MEC was present. I do not want to be in breach of protocol. If there are any MECs present, please can that be indicated to us. All right, going once, gone. Right, we hand over to Madibeng to introduce themselves, and then Honorable Tolashe will take us through. So colleagues, we're starting with Madibeng. Along the on the panel, on the may I request that our cell phones please either be off or on silence. I advise that every time a phone rings, it interrupts the recording system in this particular way. Right, Madibeng?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank you for affording us this opportunity as the delegation from Madibeng Local Municipality. I will be introducing the team that I'm with. I'm the executive mayor of Madibeng Local Municipality, Councillor Justine Mutibe. And with me, I'm having the administrator, Re Johnny Mokogelo.
They just indicate so that's the man we're talking to. All right.
We also have the acting municipal manager, Mayor Grace Mahole.
And how long has she been acting?
It's for 4 months now.
All right, 4 months.
And we also have the MPEC chair, that Councillor Diale Diale. We also have the acting CFO, that James Mutau.
How long has he been acting?
I think 6 months now.
Alright. 4 and 6.
We also have Mayor Fikile Mutau, who is the chair of the audit committee.
That's very good. Thank you for that.
And then we lastly have that Mapeto, who is the Chief Audit Executive.
Alright.
They are sitting at the back. We also have the MMC for Finance, Mayor Susan Tangeni.
Okay.
The Chief Whip, Tate Petros Makabo.
Okay.
And then we also have the team of Administrator, Tate Danstil, who's specifically deployed in the Department of Budget and Treasury.
All right. Okay, Your Worship, thank you very much for your full compliment delegation. How long have you been under administration?
We started in July.
July, right. So consistent with the MFMA, we will engage now with the administrator and the acting MM. Feel free at any time as the mayor to make interventions, but as minimal as possible, because the people who are accounting are the ones I've cited. At the end of it, I will give you an opportunity to make comments when the hearing is done. So, as I've said, for the next 30 to 45 minutes, so which means, Honorable Gashi, if you can take us to 9:30. I think that will be a good time. We'll see from there, and then colleagues can come. All right. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, members and our guests. I hope you're all right. Honorable Chairperson, if I may just request the mayor, Honorable Mayor, just in 2 minutes, tell us the state of the municipality, just politically. We know the municipality, it has been in newspapers for right or wrong reasons. If she can just quickly, in 2 minutes, just tell us where they are as we speak, as we are going to prepare for the accounting officer, which in this case is the administrator, who's going to take us low by low on the outcome.
Okay. Just a brief overview, political overview on your side.
Thank you, Chair. Of course, let me agree with Honourable Member that our municipality has been in some media for some time, and the major challenge of our municipality is road, as you have seen that. But we tried to negotiate and engage with the Department of Water and Sanitation about the water issues, and in 2015 we agreed on a project that will alleviate the pressure from the municipality, and that project started in 2015, almost at the end of 2015, and the agreement was that the project will end by 2017 August, but unfortunately that project is still existing, is still under construction, and that was because of the non-funds or allocation of funds to the project by the department. Just in the last financial year, we had no allocation, but at least for this current financial year, there is allocation for that project. And one other issue is that the project will not serve the purpose as it was expected to, because our plant now is carrying the 60 megaliters, and the capacity that was aimed at increasing is at 20 megaliters to 80, to make it 80 megaliters. But unfortunately, due to the informal settlement that we are experiencing every day, that 80 megaliter won't serve the purpose. We are trying to restrict the issue of informal settlement, but it's not an easy task. We are trying. Some of the land doesn't belong to the municipality, so that's one other challenge, because our municipality, as all of you know, is the municipality that has a number of mining houses. So everyone flock to Madibeng for better life or to seek for their jobs. We have all the provinces in our municipality. And one other issue, the instability that we are facing in our municipality is that, you know, municipalities are unlike your national offices and provincial. The officials in our municipalities some of them are highly politicized. To an extent, we are unable to draw a line whether you are a politician or you are an official. That's one other issue that we think the administrator will look at it and ensure that as he leaves us, there will be a draw of line. And to tell the honest truth, Chair, by last year, I wasn't expecting the municipality to get the disclaimer. I thought at least we will get the qualified, because things were the municipality is taking shape, but unfortunately, I don't know what happened, but there were a number of issues that was raised by the Auditor General, but that was not my expectation, to tell the honest truth, because I saw that we are moving to the next level or the next step. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Mayor, if you can just speak to us about the ESCOM debt, just quickly, because I guess that is in your office, the issue of, just quickly, the fact that you are alleged to be one of the municipalities that invested an amount of 31 million to VPF. I know for a fact that the HMM will talk extensively to that, but I just want to hear from you. What is this that the municipality is doing? Where are you insofar as that? So that as we are going to further interrogate, we must have heard from yourself, Honorable Mayor. Thank you.
All right, the two questions, VBS and ESCOM debt.
Thank you, Honorable Tolash. You are correct that the municipality owes ESCOM. Like I said, that the municipality, by December, it was like we were taking shape last year. We weren't in that bed in debts, ESCOM debt, but now we are at 57, which is the current account. We met with ESCOM, we had made arrangements, and we are now at the current account, which is 57.9 that we are owing ESCOM. We are trying to manage our...
Mm-hmm. 57.9 million.
Yes, million.
I just want to put on record.
Okay. 57.9 million. Yes, and we are, in actual fact, trying to deal with our major creditors at the end of every month. We prioritize the major creditors like your Red Water, Makadis Water, your Swani, all those services that we are getting from other service providers like your Red Water. But on the issue of the VBS, the matter was tabled in Council, and in actual fact, when it started, it didn't go well at our municipality. The investment was done, and of course, it was for 50 million. The 50 million, when it was supposed to be deposited back to the municipality, it was an investment of 3 months. only 20 million came back, then without interest, of course, just 20 million came back, and the remaining amount is 30 million with VBS and including the interest. When the investment was done, it was done by the officials of the municipality. And their argument is that the municipality has the investment policy which covers them. It allows them to invest without taking the item to cancer. And the investigation that was done, it was said to the municipality by the department that we must all go and make sure that there are investigations. The province made the investigations and the municipality also made investigations, but the two investigations are not the same. So we have agreed, because the provincial investigation said to the company that investigated, they said their report is a disclaimer. We can't stand before the court and use that report. And we argued that what was the reason for the provincial office then to investigate if that report it is not the report that we can use before the court of law. At the same time, the report that was investigated by the municipality took the report to council, and the officials were suspended from different positions as they were involved in the investment of the BBS. At the same time, there was an issue that there's a councillor involved, and we agreed that the speaker, together with the rules committee, they must go and sit with that on that matter. Now the issue that's outstanding is for the speaker to finalize the report. At the same time, we have a challenge of the two reports that are not correlating. At the same time, we said the provincial office must intervene. The office of the ABC must intervene on this matter for them to finalize. We also engage the National of to also intervene on this matter of media so that we are able to lay the matter to rest. But for those officials who were involved, there are also cases that are opened for those officials. They are suspended, and we expect the Hawks to, because the matter is with the Hawks, we expect the Hawks to give us a report or the progress report on the MED. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Although Mayor doesn't say much about the state of that situation as we speak, because we can suspend everybody, but all that talks to timelines according to labor laws of this country. Now, my fear is that we might be very happy here going away thinking that something is being done, and a month or 2 months down the line, the municipality will have to withdraw the case because it overstayed and so on. I wish, Honorable Mayor, we can get a tangible response, please, ma'am, to say, where are we? But also, you are talking about the municipality, the speaker who's sitting, who's supposed to talk to somebody else. Then you also talk to the both province and national, who you allege that there's a parallel process, if I can conclude that way. I want you to speak to that, because COPTA is here, the Deputy Minister is here, so the whole COPTA family is here. We need to speak about this matter. By the time you leave us, we must have heard of what are you doing as a municipality. I know and accept the fact that you needed to report the matter to the COPTA. However, you are a sphere of government, and this happened in your own sphere of government, in the local municipality that you are leading. So I just want to hear from you, in your office as the mayor, what are you doing with the matter? Because you remember, the matter is a matter that is not so good to talk about because all that is taxpayers' money. So, Chair, I really want to hear from the Honorable Mayor to say this is where we are insofar as the matter is concerned. But also talk to the fact that there's an allegation that auditors are being intimidated when they go to their space. Assure us whether that is still the case as the mayor, because for where I'm seated as the committee, we think it's your responsibility. And we know for a fact that they're supposed to be on site in doing their work for this financial year. Just quick, Honorable Mayor, quick response so that we can go to your administrators. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Tolach. Honorable Tolach, the issue of the VBS, as I said, I might not have the exact progress on the issue of the police, but I can assure you that that matter is with the police. And we can't be withdrawing the cases from the Hawks. That is one matter which I think the administration, because when the administrator came in, that was one of the issues we outlined that we need to focus on. But on the issue that affects the politicians or the council, the Speaker's office is dealing with that matter. And I know for the fact that there were one or two meetings that have set on that issue. So we will be informed as the council by their progress, and we believe that they will, once they are done, they will bring that matter to the council for us for noting or to action their decision as the Rules Committee. But on this issue of the officials, I think the officials will also give us the detailed information on how far are we on the issue of the open cases, because I know that there is progress on that, and the chairperson of MPEC, because we have been dealing with this matter from his office also, the researchers have information on this. I think they will also like to give information on this issue. There is no reluctancy on the VBS issue. There is work that is done by the municipality. And the issue of the auditors is true. In the last financial year, there was the issue of auditors chased away from the municipality. Hence, as the municipality, we met with the AG, the Troika, together with the audit committee chair, municipal manager, and the team of officials. We met with the AG's office, and we assured them we will try to strengthen our security in the municipality. And we have started there. If you can go and look at our access from the municipality, you can see we never had those big doors where, as if you were getting to a bank. But now we have started with ensuring that we strengthen the security of the municipality to ensure the safety of everyone who comes to our building. So I can ascertain you that we are also doing something on the issue of the security, not only for the auditors, for everyone who will be in our building. We are on top of the security issues. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Honorable Chairperson, can you please pack the issue of VBS with the relationship with Hawks? I guess we'll need to get first-hand information and an accurate update on the matter so that the SCOPA can also assist. Honorable Mayor, thank you very much. I just want to put a concern that I guess you should be on top of issues in your local municipality as the mayor of that municipality. You can't get out and fly to Cape Town without knowing the last update on VPS in particular. because that's now an international matter. It's no longer even a national matter. It's an international matter. So thank you so much. Going forward, you have been penalized for at least 3 consecutive financial years by AG for reasons that sometimes you explain. But if the administrator can please come in, just quickly tell us, when did he come in and how long is he going to be there and whether he's able to turn things around. And then we speak out on the recommendations that were made by the AG in the last financial years, your turnaround, so that we can get into detail. Please, sir. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Good morning, Honourable Members, the political leadership and colleagues here present. I am Monna Pula Motlogelwa. I am Administrator for Madibeng Local Municipality following Section 1391B intervention of the provincial government effectively from the 1st of July 2019. Part of the key terms of reference is to improve the financial situation of Madibeng, including perennial disclaimers for the last 3 years. The audit findings indicate mainly that a disclaimer is caused by the limitation of scope because there is expenditure incurred and there is no records that indeed proper procedure was followed or that service was delivered. And as a result, the AG has not been able to impress any value on the transactions made. We then, on the basis of that, together with the municipal officials and the post-audit action plan, committee developed an intervention plan to respond directly to the issues of the Auditor General, and I'll take members through few key critical issues that needs to be done. For the last 3 years, the AG has indicated that there is a problem on cash and cash equivalent. There's no regular reconciliations, therefore it may breed a culture of expenditure which is not accounted for. We have been able to update the reconciliation, and we are now at the Budget and Treasury Office, led by the intervention team, finance experts, reconciling weekly with a view that these reconciliations are actually done daily, and it will assist you with a cumulative cash-to-cash equivalent reconciliation going forward. The issue is that that basic element that ought to have been done was not done over a long period of time. Part of the responsibility in finance has been the turnover of chief financial officers and the acting tenure of the CFO. We still have even a vacancy of the CFO, which we are filling, and we are finalizing that recruitment process, and it will assist in leadership there. Part of the other issue was the supporting documents in relation to journals on the retentions. We have been able to update and ensure that we acquire supporting documents in relation to those transactions. We unfortunately dealing with the history of the last 3 years, and anything good and improvement will be looking into the current audit if it's going to yield any positive results in relation to documentation. We have also, Chair and members, noted that part of the issues that the findings referred to was about commitments and the manner in which they were not correctly disclosed in the annual financial statements. We have attended specifically to issues relating to documentation and commitments, including appointment letters, contract management, all issues that relate to the filing requirements for commitment and disclosure in the AFS. These are basic issues which do not require much comprehensive task to be done, but just commitment to do the basics. And we are sitting with officials who are relevant, and we are dealing with what the AG stated ought to have been done 3 years ago already. The other issue relates to the overstatement on operating lease and expenditure relating to operating lease liabilities. We have been able to indicate that in the AFS and recalculated the 2018-19 annual financial statement in particular to reflect the actual commitments and liabilities in relation to that. I will not deal with these issues one by one, but where members want a specific explanation on a particular issue, we will be able to deal with that. As part of the intervention team, therefore, we have our weekly meetings. We have met with the audit committee, which is an external oversight body of the municipality, to identify their concerns and frustrations relating to improvement measures they've suggested to council, which have not happened. We have met with the entire council and expressed this view and concerns of the audit committee. We have met with the political leadership of the municipality, the tracker, to insist how functional the committees of council should be, from both Section 79 and Section 80 committees, to consider these matters and to be able to act so that issues can improve. And we have attained commitment in those meetings and engagements with TROIKA and council portfolio committees and MPEC are beginning to have some meaningful engagements, and we hope that this can only improve going forward.
Mr. Administrator, I hear what you are saying, but I think we need to take it back a bit because you're trying to place things in context. The mayor says she had anticipated that this audit outcome would have been, at the very least, a qualified audit opinion. Now, and she says she does not know then how. You know, right, fair enough, we'll come back to the mayor. Have you been able to diagnose, put aside the AG, because obviously then there was a hope within the municipality that things were changing. Why didn't they change? Because I would imagine that would be a key area you'd want to you know, address and understand and unpack if the political leadership you are coming into says, look, we had anticipated a qualified, at the very least, not that it's anything to celebrate, but it's better, I suppose, than a disclaimer. So let's close that gap, because it will determine whether you are able to move forward, because the commitments you are speaking about fall into a vacuum if they are anchored in the kind of hope that the mayor had and it didn't materialize.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we have engaged the Auditor General as the intervention team to establish the basis of the AG finding and what measures the AG really wanted the municipality to implement in terms of the findings. We have found from the AG that part of the issues that will not change the opinion is that the scope is still limited. The documents that the AG required for purpose of auditing were still not produced.
No, I understand that.
That
part is very clear. That's why we're here. The mayor says, on the back of a disclaimer in the previous year, says she had hoped, and I would imagine that this was a feeling of the political leadership. I'm trying to understand your assessment, because I would imagine that this is the kind of assessment we would have got from the mayor, who would have said, look, Administrator, okay, welcome, disclaimer, yes, but let me tell you, we had hope for you qualified. I hear what the AG says. Have you diagnosed why the hopes did not materialize into reality? Because you are also going to speak about commitments and hopes which have been present and prevalent and still yielding a disclaimer.
Thank you, Chair. For this commitment and interventions to yield the necessary hope, we must implement what we undertook to implement in the post-audit action plan. We undertook to ensure that we attend to issues of cash to cash equivalents, issues of reconciliations, availability of documentation for expenditure, and reducing irregular expenditure with a view to getting rid of it.
So if I understand you well, then
yes, our assessment,
these are the things you are anticipating on doing. So the hope that was there was not anchored in a program of action of corrective measures. It was a hope in the vacuum.
For the year under review, Chair, the accounting officer and the CFO maybe will deal with that practical element during the implementation of the post-audit audit action plan. For the intervention since July and going forward in terms of improving the value of the audit findings, these are the issues that I will be able to deal with directly. But as to the disappointment arising from the final AG findings, why it could not at least yield to qualified, but again to a disclaimer, and other than the assessment that we have done ourselves, the practical issues that the AG engaged with the municipal officials and the accounting officer in particular, the accounting officer is here, maybe she will share with the committee what kind of disappointments yielded again to the disclaimer audit opinion. I can add value.
I don't think you are hearing me, because I would imagine if you are, I'm sorry, Honorable Tulash, if you are an administrator, you would want a, you know, very broad, you'd want to do a very broad assessment of what's going on. Now, the political leadership had the disclaimer of the previous year. And they went into the next year and they were confident in hope. So what I'm not looking for the futuristic plans. I'm trying to understand, did you assess when coming in to enrich your work where the disjuncture happened? Because the hope, what I'm trying to get at is, let me put it this way, was the hope anchored in any program of action that you found, which were action steps to try and correct what the AG had raised? Maybe let me put it that way.
The basic hope would have been anchored in the post-audit action plan.
Was it there?
There was a post-audit action plan.
In your assessment, was it practical and doable?
Certain aspects of the post-audit action plan required that the municipality institute certain systems and implement those actions that were undertaken to be.
Was that done?
Not all of them were done. If you have regard to your figures for irregular expenditure, for example, you would see that although there is commitment on the audit action plan to deal with irregular expenditure issues and consequence management related thereto, these issues have not materialized both in the preceding and in the current year for which the review is now due.
All right, so we'll come back to this.
Yes. Is that fine, Chair?
Yeah, no, carry on. I was just trying to put in context that Honorable Tarash is still on the floor.
If the administrator can just please take your chair and complete the explanation that you have given so that you can get to the next question. But also, I'm not sure, Chair, what then happens when in the presence of the administrator as well as the acting MM. Immediately after the administrator, if the acting MM can come in, but come in, yes, because he must give account on things that happened, because as Honorable Chairperson, you are correctly saying, the program of the administrator is more futuristic, and you are dealing with the past here. So if the MM can please come in so that he can give further details on exactly what the chairperson is asking, and you'll take more questions from ourselves. Thanks, Chair. If administrator can please finish up,
yeah.
Tell us what then becomes the arrangement as well, with the presence of yourself as administrator as well as the acting MM, whether your terms of reference do cover that, to extent there is no clash. I just want to hear that from you, please, sir.
Thank you. The administrator upon appointment at the municipality, in terms of Section 1391B of the Constitution, is when the province assumes executive obligations. So primarily, the administrator becomes the executive authority in a municipality. Those Section 55 of the Systems Act powers and functions and those other obligations in any other law which vests in the executive arm of the municipality now vests in the administrator. Operationally, to make it easy in the municipality, we have shared the terms of reference with the municipal manager and all other officials in the municipality. We have explained the terms of reference, and we have devised administrative methods where the administrator, in those functions that are that of the accounting officer, must still have the right to concur to certain decisions of major financial implication and institutional implications other than those budget and fiscal and policy functions of concern. So the administrator interfaces with the administration on that basis. And all the time that a major decision ought to be done, the administrator and the accounting officer will sit down, but eventually the administrator will concur to the accounting officer's decision. Since July and for the last 8 weeks and few days we have seamlessly been able to deal with that situation. We have not encountered any major challenge or misunderstanding, and that will be my brief response to that, Chair. Thanks.
You can confirm, Honourable Chair, thank you. You can confirm that your turnaround strategy is in fact working. Can you confirm in the committee that your turnaround strategy is in fact working?
Chair and members, we have developed the intervention plan as required by the Department of Local Government in the province, with specific issues raised in the terms of reference to deal with the challenges that Madibem faces, largely around governance, service delivery, finance, and administration issues. Our terms of reference are going to be dealing exactly with that, and we have begun already that. We have obtained input of various stakeholders and role players. We have been able to engage as much as labor, employees, general management in the municipality, political leadership, local business, other structures of community that requires services from the municipality and so on. Ours is to do the basics of what the municipality should be doing, assist to do away with the constraints and future commitments that will restrain the municipality's fiscals. We are doing exactly that, Chair. We believe that if this intervention plan is followed and all role players cooperate and implement what the plan intends, we should be able to turn certain issues around, but most importantly, to improve the outcome of the audit now and going forward. We hope that post-intervention, this will also find a buy-in. We work with all leaders, including councillors in portfolios, and our basis for working with everybody is that the intervention is not a replacement. When we leave the municipality, the intervention impact should have been to build capacity and to improve systems and the manner of doing things. We can only sustain that if we work with the current role players in that municipality. To date, we have not experienced any resistance from any of the role players, and we believe that if this trend can continue, at the end of this intervention, we must be able to see a better Madibeng and a better financial outcome in terms of audits, Chair.
Thank you very much, Administrator. Can the acting MM please come forward?
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Grace Mahole. I'm the acting municipal manager in the Madibeng local municipality. The question that I will directly respond to is based on the hope that the executive mayor indicated on earlier, that she had hope that the municipality will get a better audit opinion. She's correct, honorable members, because prior years, the municipality at strategic positions, meaning senior managers, they were acting. And we appointed the municipal manager, the CFO, the deputy CFO and director infrastructure and technical services. Plans were put in place to improve the audit outcome in the year under review. But ultimately what happened, just before the audit could be concluded, they all resigned, including the deputy CFO. Hence the municipality regressed to where we find ourselves today. And I further agree with the intervention or the turnaround strategy that the administrator has just alluded to. It will assist the municipality to improve with the audit opinion that we have received, and we need to stick to that and ensure that we put our control environment back in place. Thank you.
Why are they all resigning?
I beg your sir?
Why are they all resigning? What causes this mass exodus?
The reasons for resignation, they all indicated that they found employment in other sectors of government, some in the private sector. Those are the reasons that we received as an institution for resignation.
Chair, are there pending cases against some of the staff members? But also if you can get to hear from the acting MM, how long has she been acting? So which other 56, 57 managers are acting at the present moment?
Can you get a response?
Thank you, Chair. I started acting in May this year, and the CFO started in January. And the directors that I just mentioned earlier on, they all resigned as at December 2018. So from January 2019, we did not have the permanent MM, the CFO, and the Director Infrastructure and Technical Services.
So they all resigned in December?
Yes, they all resigned in December.
How many resignations are we talking about?
3 resignations that were done at the same time.
All at the same time. Is that a coincidence of history, of circumstance, or reality prevailing on the ground? Does that not strike you as odd? I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the institution. What position are you occupying, your permanent position?
It's the Director of Corporate Support Services.
All right. So now I would imagine somebody is acting in your position.
Yes, somebody is acting.
So the acting MM started acting in January this year?
No, it was in May this year.
Something doesn't add up.
Yes,
sir. That's the thing. Something. What happened in December? Maybe let's say what happened in November. Something. Who is this gentleman? I'm not sure. Fine. Let's hear Cocteau's assistant.
Chair, actually, it stems from the VBS. Investments. Our then minister Mkhize issued a circular.
Yeah, hold it there,
Congressman. Okay.
Don't want that from you. They must tell us what happened. In their space.
See.
That's why I was skeptical, because I knew you'd go there. Because I'm asking, what happened? Yeah, a mass resignation of everyone, and that seems normal. Because then my next question is, how many of these people that left were in the firing line in one way or the other? In terms of investigation, consequence management, how many of them?
Whether, Chair, there are any cases of investigation in the municipality. Because for me, I think if we can get that detail, it will inform this mass resignation, our exodus. And then we'll have to come back to the mayor to put what she was saying into proper context. Because it doesn't matter however we're going to explain it. Let's get it to what it is so that we can get to this place. Thank you. Otherwise, we'll round up until...
So these let's get that, and of all these that resigned, which of them had any allegation of sort? Right, I'm going to honourable. Let's tie it down on this particular aspect, because I think it's the clearest indication yet of what the problem is. Right, honourable Liz.
Just a quick one. We were told there were 2 officials who had been suspended as a result of the VBS. Have they resigned? Are they part of the resignation? Yeah.
Maybe the overarching question is this, because now Cocteau has complicated our probing a little bit. In terms of VBS, what disciplinary processes were taken by the municipality? Because we all know that investing in the mutual bank was wrong. So that is known. That's common cause. And then that investigation, did it include those who resigned? We'll come back to your question to finalize, but I think let's tie it down on this particular aspect. Okay, one second. Let's get... Honorable Khatibe, please turn off that mic. I think it's...
No, it's not me, Chair.
I didn't say it was you.
Oh, okay.
Turn it off. All right. Honorable Mutambi.
Chair, I listened attentively. We were told about greener pastures among the same officials. Just to complement your question that we need to be told what greener pastures, because now what the colleague from Cocteau was saying is completely different. It can't be greener pastures.
So I must remind you, colleagues, that we're holding this meeting and hearing within the context of powers and privileges and parliamentary rules. For misleading the committee is, in effect, misleading the House. We are acting on behalf of plenary. So can I just place that on the table? Right. Can we now get an explanation? What happened?
Thank you, Chair. Of the three suspended officials, one resigned and two are still in
Which
the
one?
Municipality.
Take us slowly. Let's start with the three, and then we name them, what position they held, and their status, one by one.
We have, but I'm not referring to the three that resigned. I'm referring to the three that were implicated by the VBS investigation report.
It's fine. We'll take the three in two tranches.
Okay. The first one is the head of section for cash and investment. He's still with the municipality. The disciplinary process is still underway. And we have manager expenditure. He's still with the municipality. Same, the disciplinary process is still underway. And the one who resigned is the assistant director for assets, budget and reporting. That is the one who resigned on the VBS matter.
So all these were implicated in VBS?
Yes, in the report that we received from our independent investigators.
Right. And the three that resigned?
The three that resigned, none of them was implicated in the VBS report that we received. The municipal manager was cited in the report, but in the recommendations.
Cited as doing what?
Cited in the report as one of the officials who then gave the manager expenditure instruction to invest money with the VBS because
right.
he was the CFO then.
Right. Now, how are you then not implicated? Because you are the one issuing the unlawful instruction. Okay, we're making progress now because, see, it's a malicious resignation.
Can
right.
I continue?
Yes, go.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. The recommendations that we have received from the independent investigation firm implicated the three officials, and council, when it took a resolution, it did not refer or took a decision against the then CFO who was currently the municipal manager
by then. Of course.
That is what transpired.
Ordinarily, that's what's going to happen because that's the top man in the show, top person in the show, right? The other two resignations?
The other two resignations was for the CFO and the Director Infrastructure and Technical Services. They were not implicated at all in the VBS report.
Not implicated and not cited?
Not at all.
So I'm just wanting to know then from the political leader, I'll come to you. Now, the MM, acting MM, CFO, gives the instruction, and it's common cause that it was an unlawful instruction, which has cost you 30 million rands plus interest and reputational damage, really. And he gets off scot-free. Does that sound right? I'm just... but there's a hand there, and I'll come to you. Yes, let's start there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we please be given that report from the independent investigator? Because something does not add up. How do you give the impression and then we are not implicated in the process, and those who have implemented are the ones who are implicated? And then number two, I just need to check on how long does the DC process take place? Because the BBS saga is something that happened almost 8 months or 10 months ago, but now we are being told that they are still busy with the DC. How long does it take? What is the principle in terms of the municipality, in terms of dealing with the DC? Because I remember some said there was the issue of 90 days or so, but I'm not sure. Can they please give us clarity on that?
I will take note of that, Honorable List. Colleagues, we're just tying down on this one, and then we'll go back to Honorable Dolash.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some clarification. The acting MM indicated that it was a council resolution that the then municipal manager who had previously been the CFO should not face disciplinary action. Are any members who were councillors at that time sitting in this room today? And the other question is, the two officials who've been suspended for an inordinately long time, were they paid a performance bonus in the last financial or in the current financial year?
Right. So let's go through those questions. We want the report, please, submitted for the benefit of all colleagues who are here. Anything that requires submission, if not answered now, the committee will indicate, and our deadline, because you are today, it's fine. I say, colleagues, you can be flexible and give them Monday 5 o'clock rather than 12. I think that's fine. All right. Monday 5, the submissions, because the committee is meeting on Tuesday. So, colleagues, late night reading next week, Monday, right? So we want that report on Monday, 5 o'clock, right? Then there's the question of your DC process. Let's answer that one, and then we'll move on to the bonuses. But my overriding question is on somebody who gives the instruction.
Thank you, Chair. We'll submit the report as requested. And with regard to the disciplinary process, the latter speaker was correct that according to the law, 90 days provision is given for suspension. Otherwise, if the period exceeds 90 days, then it will be an unlawful suspension.
Right. Are you within 90 days now?
No, we are out then. I will then explain the process that we have followed to date. What we did, the report that was...
1 second. No, don't apologize.
You must get this one. Because the honorable member is asking a question that I asked earlier on. And let's get to have that response, because anything else relies on the response. Whether you have to make people to account, it depends into that response that you need to the...
All right, let's focus on that one.
Please, just within 90 days, it doesn't matter what process, within 90 days, are we there? Are we beyond 90 days? That's what the detail that we need, because anything else is a luxury, Chair, I'm sorry.
All right, let's deal with that one, and we'll deal with them, Seriata members. We'll not lose sight of them.
Chairperson, we are beyond 90 days, and we have lifted the suspensions. We have received an advisory report from the prosecutor of the case itself that what the municipality took a resolution on was based on a draft report which does not have a legal standing. So we were then advised...
Which draft report is this? On the one
BBS.
That we're going to be getting on Monday?
No, on Monday you will get the final report. What we did, we pursued the legal firm, the investigation firm, to give us a final report. There were issues of payments which we sorted out around July, and we were able to get a final report in that regard.
So you're going to recharge the people?
Yes.
Doesn't that sound like a double prejudice?
It is not, Chairperson.
Okay.
It is not. The disciplinary process can still continue beyond 90 days. The suspension is the one that is regulated within 90 days. So we have returned the two employees that we still have in the municipality, and the disciplinary
process. So nobody is suspended then?
No one is suspended.
Then why did you say people were suspended?
Yes, people were suspended, but however, based on the legal framework, the 90
you
days
said
had lapsed.
People are suspended, and I'm saying to you, nobody is suspended. People were suspended. So currently, there's nobody who is suspended. Excuse my pedanticness, but I just think as a matter of process, as a matter of fact, as we sit here now, nobody is suspended. The impression given was that two people were suspended.
Yes, people were suspended. Hence, I clarified it earlier on that we are beyond the 90 days. So we had to lift the suspension and get a final report and continue with the disciplinary process.
You see, Honorable Liz asked you about the suspended people. Because you said people are suspended. But as we sit here, nobody is suspended.
Yes,
that, that's correct. So nobody is suspended.
Nobody is suspended.
Right. Okay. You can continue, acting MM.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. And on the performance bonus question that was raised, the two officials that we still have in them, so they don't fall under the category of those receiving the performance bonus. So that element is not affected at all.
So then we go back to the question of an MM who gives an instruction, and then that MM gets off scot-free. Did they get off scot-free on the basis of the draft report or on the basis of the final report? Which report was the basis of the resolution? Thanks, Mr. Lewis. Right. Honorable Menda, I'm coming to you. Just
thank you, Chair. The way I'm getting it, Chair, the law says suspend charge within 90 days. What has happened here, they suspended the 90 days lapse without them giving the charges to the employees.
Yeah.
Then automatically by law, then that suspension lapses. Then the follow-up question will be that they are back, but doesn't mean that they are exonerated. Then have you finally now given them the charges formally now? But the issue is that then also to say, the reason why you suspended them, normally the reason would be that they are going to interfere with the investigation.
Yeah.
By virtue of the fact now that the investigation was concluded, and then what made you not to give them the charges within the prescribed period? Because that is their allocation of responsibility as well.
Yeah.
And then who's going to take accountability for that? Because the possibility of them even coming back now, the likelihood that they might even interfere with witnesses is there. But you had the whole ample time, 90 days,
is
fair and reasonable. And then this issue to be told that we acted based on the draft report really is pure negligence. And again, delegation of responsibility. Because how do you then suspend people? Because that thing, the municipality was also given its financial situation. The employees could have gone to the labor court and then cost money that were going to be involved. And then why didn't you do things properly?
Yeah.
What caused you to do the things so rash that then you ignore the basic prescripts?
Right, Honorable Mentor.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, earlier on, the mayor indicated that some officials were very political. I didn't want to investigate that further. I wanted to say, let's tie it down. But then a voice at the back of my mind said, okay, well, listen. This is a typical case of politicians that are official. Now, my question is, who is dealing with the DC that is not doing their work? And what is being done by the acting MM to the person who's letting go of criminals and tax?
We're gonna, like I said, we're in no rush. We will tie down on everything until we get it done. So can we speak to this matter? Because colleagues, I think for me this is indicative of everything that is before us. Process, systems, the whole nine yards. So how did this bungle, let me call it that, this bungle, how did this happen? So maybe let's, acting MM, let's start from the beginning of your process. Where did you start? Let's just start at the revelation that you have invested 50 million rands. You receive 20, no interest. 30 is left, 30 million is left with interest. And then of course, as I've said, reputational damage, the whole nine yards. Take us through what your response until this moment. What happened?
Chairperson, what happened is that the municipality submitted a report to council after realizing a loss of 30 million from VBS.
Must adopt a hamburger. Where does that report come from? Aren't you, the revelation drops at that point. Who commissions the report? That's what we want to know.
It was commissioned by the then municipal manager.
Right.
He commissioned the report and submitted it to council. Council then took a resolution to investigate, hence the investigation firm was appointed to investigate the matter. In August of 2018,
right,
a draft report was then presented by the investigation team to council, wherein a resolution that implicated three officials that I referred to earlier on was taken. Further to clarify that in that resolution, council did not take any decision against the municipal manager who was the CFO then. They did not take any decision on that one.
Okay. Just clarify me here, Emerson. I want to hear you very well. So the CFO is the one who commissioned in his capacity the one who gave the instruction.
Yes.
Commissioned. Okay.
Okay.
So he was acting at the time. Where was the MM then, if he was acting?
No, the CFO, remember the MM I'm referring to was the CFO.
That's what I mean.
At that time.
Yes. So he was holding both positions?
No, the acting MM was myself during that time. It was in 2017.
Right.
Then?
The CFO was the CFO.
The CFO was the CFO during the period of investment. And when the report was commissioned to council, the CFO was the municipal manager at that point in time.
So he commissioned the report that implicates himself. Do you already see where the problem is?
I see where the problem is.
All right. Just one second, Honorable Liz.
At that very point, so the CFO who commissioned the investment was not the municipal manager who commissioned the investigation into the investment. He later became the municipal manager when the report came. Have I got it wrong?
Yes.
Okay. Very fine.
So it seems as if the CFO is the one who gave the instruction for the investment. Then he became the
municipal
manager. And then he commissioned a report on his action. Investigation, right, on his action, right? Then his report does it just cites him and then says, no, but those three, me, not me.
Yes.
All right, so that's
where
we are.
That is what transpired, that is where we are.
All right.
You are correct.
Okay.
You are correct. Then council.
Okay, council resolution. Right.
Council took a resolution in August 2018,
right,
implicating three officials on their recommendations.
And citing the MM.
Without citing the MM on the recommendations, but in the content of the report,
no,
MM
sorry,
is
I mean.
Cited. Yes, you are correct, Chairperson.
Right.
Then what happened, we then suspended the three officials. The presiding officer and the prosecutor were appointed.
Was this a full complement council that This is the draft report or the final report?
It's the draft report that was presented.
So you subpoenaed on the basis of a draft?
Yes.
Who of the councillors that are here were present then?
All of them are here.
Okay. Thank you, colleagues. Just wait. Let's bring this to a logical... let's just finish the explanation. Just make your notes. Okay, quick clarity, Honorable Khatev.
The report that was commissioned by council, I suspect the MM was the one who appointed investigators. The one was implicated.
Yeah.
It therefore makes sense why he would not be implicated. Basic logic, if you are implicated, you are recused. Council ought to have recused him, not to even appoint investigators. Now, my question is, how did that escape council to understand that he was the CFO then? Therefore, he cannot be the one charged with the responsibility of appointing investigators. So council failed in their duties.
No.
To act in the best interest of the municipality and to also act based on what you are telling me.
Yeah.
Unless you can have an information that will prove me otherwise. Can I get that understanding?
Yeah.
Why was that not foreseen and avoided? Thank you.
That's honorable. What time you want to take a clarity?
I'm partially covered by Honorable Hadem. But also issue here, at the time of the instruction to invest, the acting MM today was an acting MM then. That's what she said. Was that brought to your attention that there is money that is going to be invested at, to be invested at VBS? The other issue that I want for that clarity, when the MM commissioned an investigation, I suppose that was, as Honorable Hadebe is saying, that was a council resolution, or was that an initiative by the MM by virtue of being an accounting officer, having discovered that there was an irregularity, then he was proactive in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act to then start to report to council to action it. But in the terms of the checks and balances, you cannot be a referee and a player at the same time. Also to understand, at that council meeting that exonerated him, though he was cited in the report, did he, as an accounting officer, was he present in that meeting, as Honorable Hadebe is saying, and also then what advice did he, as an accounting officer, give counsel to that effect, bearing in mind that he was cited in the report.
Okay, let's take two hands, and then we will... okay, ma'am, just don't worry. You will still get your full bite. It's just that we have been triggered by this isimo. We'll come to you. You'll still get your... All right, let's...
Can we get the mayor's take
on
this particular matter? On this particular matter, because we are left with her and no one else insofar as the MFMA is concerned.
Okay. We'll give the mayor an opportunity, right?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to bring the dots together. Earlier, the acting MM said that the CFO is not implicated, but the MM is. But if the MM at that time was the CFO, how is it not implicated both? Because then she actually says she was the acting MM at that stage. Was she then implicated in the report, giving us feedback today?
Maybe she can answer, was she cited in the report? Would want to know that. Right, Honorable Whip?
Thank you, Chair. Mine also go in line with this. Who was the final person to authorize the investment of VBS? Was it the then CFO or the then acting MM?
All right. Mam Sibula?
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to check here. I hear that the municipality preferred the private investigator.
I'll be charging 1,000 rand per phone that rings for your charity in Cape Town.
Private investigator.
Okay, let's come back to the meeting.
How much they paid for the private investigator than the Hawks?
Okay. The cost factors. All right, I think you've had the full set of questions. My advice is that be very patient in your responses and make sure that you go through these issues diligently, because this is indicative of the fundamentally flawed processes being employed by the municipality. All right, let's get responses. Yes, Madam Mayor, sure.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, when I made my presentation, I said the municipality investigated the matter, and there was an investigation report that came from the province. And I also said the challenge was with the report that we got from the province. The challenge was the province, when they presented the report, they said that the report says this claim. So we were unable to implement on that report. Because amongst other things, in that report, they indicated that the CFO is implicated. So the other issue is that on the question that was raised by Honorable Tolash, that what is it that the mayor has done if things are like this? I went to the office of the Premier. I met with the Premier and the team on this matter. And we spoke about the two reports. How we agreed, they said they will look at the report and come back to us to say what should be done. And remember, by that time, there was already there was a progress made on the side of the municipality in implementing the report that was submitted before the council. But at the same time, after that meeting, the MEC pronounced that they will appoint the investigating officer who will give us, the investigating company, which will give us the report that we will be able to action. And that's what I said when I started with this meeting. It's not that we are not doing anything about this, because it's a burning issue even in our community. So we, as we are now, we are waiting for that investigating company that will give us a neutral report as compared to the two reports that we have. Because you have this one that says the other thing, the other one says another thing. So we are waiting for the company that will make an investigation that will that we will be able to implement. Like I am saying, that report that came from the province, in that report it implicates the CFO. It talks about the CFO.
The one was the MM.
She was the CFO.
Yes, but
yes.
Acted as MM.
No, he was the CFO and appointed as the MM late.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So
he's implicated in both reports.
No, not both, because by that time he wasn't the acting, he wasn't the MM.
So what
the
I mean,
acting MM then was Mema Kholi.
What I mean, Madam Mayor, is that the provincial report implicates him, right?
Yes.
Your report cites him. In our interpretation here, he's implicated.
Yes.
So both ways, I don't think any of these reports absolve him. That's, I think that's for us the issue, and why we are flagging it is because the resignation without consequence seems irregular. And is provincial Cocta here?
No.
Okay, it's fine. We'll follow that up with them. All right, Madam Mayor, you can continue.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to re-emphasize this issue that it is not that we are reluctant on the matter, because it's a burning issue on our communities. It's something that they raise in every meeting. And we also are expecting the provincial department, when they are done with the investigation, to give us a report and implement. And remember when that report was presented in council, we were excused from council. Myself as the executive mayor, the MMC finance, the acting, all the officials and the MM.
Why?
Because the council was in committee. The council was in committee, but myself and the MMC, we were excused because, remember, it was said we are somehow affected by the report. We might have had influenced the report. So we were excused from...
Who made that allegation? It's a very serious one. And how do you contend it?
And one other thing, it was that we were amongst those who were interviewed during the investigation.
Okay. I think, colleagues, our the way forward, let's get these reports so that we can make... We can go into them, and then administration can assist us craft a timeline of the events, because there seems to be many things that have happened, but council acted. It took decisions. And in our view, the decisions in part are irrational. That must be put on the table. Your decisions are inconsistent with logic, and they are irrational, with consequence in the law. So they don't sit well with us at all, actually. But we'll have to get that report. Probably we'll send correspondence, please, to... You said it's the Premier's office that is appointing this company which will investigate, or is it provincial coctor?
Local department. Provincial
coctor.
Yes, provincial
coctor. National coctor, can you please also follow up on that? To give and get a detailed timeline as to when this now new investigation, if I may call it that, which seeks to somehow clean up this whole thing,
sure,
when that will happen. So if we can get that response as well by Monday, so that we know where we are with the state of investigation. Madam Mayor?
Chair, I also propose that the report, we should give you the two reports, the one from the province and this other one that was an investigation report from the municipality, so that you are able to look at the two reports and
your
compare.
Council minutes as well.
Yeah.
Where these things were dealt with. That would be appreciated. I think that's good. Colleagues, I think we can leave it at that on this particular one. Safe to say that CFO have been a very influential someone to have been a player and a referee on his own matter. But let's get those documents on Monday. I see three hands. One at four. Right. Let's come in a line. We'll come this way. We'll start at the back and then we'll come this way. So, Mom, kiss.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody, all professor observe. Chairperson, mine on Madibeng municipality. The Madibeng municipality lost 60 million infrastructure grant. Can the losses of Madibeng municipality answerable to the community, means that the community are not receiving basic services. Can the manager and the leaders of Madibeng municipality be able to demonstrate how their decisions align with the constitutional mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, can that question be flagged on in the infrastructure grant? We'll come back to that when we resume. Can that be the first one? Let's just tie it down on the VBS-related matters and then we'll go to that. Because an outstanding question is, Honorable Zibula asked, how much did your investigation cost us? We'll let those figures, please. Right. Honorable Mende, all right, I'm going to come this way and I'll end up that side because I've got a sequence here. So can you just note all these questions? Colleagues, can we just confine ourselves to VBS-related matters for now, and then we'll go back to Honorable Mamkiza's question on infrastructure, right? We'll come this way. I'll come to you, Honorable Chair. That's fine. Honorable Mende.
Thank you, Chair.
No, no, just behind you. I'm coming in a sequence. You are next after him.
No, Chairperson, my one question on the VBS is that after the revelations of the VBS, municipality said, commissioned investigation. And for me, the report is null and void because the commissioning of the report was directed by an implicated person. I want to know from the mayor and the MM, do they think that the validity of that report can stand the test of time? Because even the one person who have now resigned can challenge it at court. You have a CFO cited. Yet the recommendations, they do not affect him. The CFO who instructed people to invest council money unlawfully. So my problem is the validity of the report and if it can stand the test of time legally. And don't we think we need a fresh report that will deal with who was implicated. Secondly, the council was correct to recuse the mayor. If you remember yesterday, Mubani, the mayor and the CFO, both of them took a decision to invest in the VBS. The mayor cannot really be cleared in terms of such decisions that are affecting budget because the mayor is the head of the institution. So the council was correct. The mayor must tell us if then can we commission a new one? Can they go back to council and commission a report properly this time? Everyone else who is involved must not be part and parcel of that. Because that one is not valid. The second, last one is that who is in charge of DCs? Who's the head of HRM?
Okay.
That is in charge of the DCs. Will let go of the 90 days and not care to follow up. Because I would imagine a situation where you are an HRM head. On a weekly basis, you have a register where you look at your day-to-day running of the organization. So who is not doing the day-to-day running of the organization where they do not even see the 90 days about to lapse, nothing is being done? And if we know that person, is that person here? Thank you.
All right. I think on the matters of this report, colleagues, our other avenue, of course, is that we've got a new strategic partnership with the SIU. I think this may be one of those matters we may want them to look in for us because there's a lot of discrepancies, right? Don't worry, I've noted all the hands. Okay, sir?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be quick. The officials that resigned and are employed in government again, do we know where they are employed?
Okay, no, it's fine. Let's just pass. We're finalizing this. Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick one. The CFO who became the municipal manager, was that promotion after the VBS scandal broke or before?
Okay. Right. And here. I'm coming this way. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I just want to know that
with all these irregularities that is happening there, did they inform the MPEC of what is going on?
MPEC? MPEC chair is here, right? The MPEC chair is here, right? Okay, so we'll get a response from MPEC, right?
Turn down the VPS check. Can I get to hear from the mayor once I'm standing? Are they using the provisional report or their report that was a draft?
All right.
Are you using your report or the provincial report?
The suspensions were made on the municipal report, which the provincial report came later.
Still also just came.
So hence, I took the two reports and spoke to the premier about the two reports.
Okay.
Chairperson, the last one. We understand the fact that we are a two-tier government and municipality in the Madibeng arrangement is a government on its own. Does the mayor understand that she is responsible for all that we are getting to hear here, and according to the MFMA Section 131, she must take the full responsibility? Does she understand the implications? Because my fear here, Chair, is that there are two reports. The municipality report did not assist because it was a draft. Then they used the provincial. Now you want to ask a question, was it brought back to the council for the council to adopt it and becomes the council's report? Because as we are three-sphere government kind of an arrangement, any given time the council can say, it's not our report. Because COPTA is a government on its own. Unless there should be arrangement discussions according to the IGR, there can be those working relationships. That should be also legalized. It's not a teta-teta kind of a thing. So, because, Chair, I want just to conclude on what you suggested. I think our dear partners must come in here. I think this needs institutions that has skills. This is a bungled case. Deliberately, I'm sorry to say it. It's a bad case and it's done deliberately. So I don't think between all of us here we can sit and be able to find a solution.
Yeah.
I think you should take it up with the relevant institutions that can do best, because we owe it to the taxpayers. No wonder there's no stability, Mayor, in Matibeng, and there will never be stability in Matibeng. Because for all that you are saying, it therefore means that with the audit outcome, there's no service delivered. And because democracy is ripe in South Africa, people will not sit knowing very well that there's money put aside for them to get water and money took another route to VPS. And you think that they're going to sit and fold their arms and say thank you to you, man. So I'm saying, Chairperson, I don't think we must further pursue this,
yeah.
But I really want to hear from the mayor whether she understands the implications. The acting MM should come later, because this that you are seated with, which is an audit outcome, she is responsible, Chairperson. She must take charge of it, and she must take a step by step on what is she doing with the report, the question that has not been responded to, the HRM, because there are serious cases that are reflecting insofar as AG is concerned, but we don't hear whether there's anybody who's been taken through this process for the fact that there are these outcomes insofar as AG report is concerned. Thank you. Sorry to take long.
No, don't be sorry. There's no rush, right? Right, and at the back.
Thanks, Chair. Just from a COCTA perspective and further to the question of this acting CFO, acting municipal manager CFO, who was cited but not implicated, and where he now works and whether it's in local government, I think it's a very important question. But can COCTA consider sort of a VBS watch list so that folks who were investigated or might be implicated and then resigned, the people who consider appointing them at least know about the circumstances?
Right, COCTA will take note of that. Right. Oh, Honorable Mutambi, I skipped you. Sorry. Right, and then we will come to the mayor.
Thank you, Chair. 30 million that went down the drain. Definitely the municipality couldn't do some of the projects based on the fact that the money has gone with CBS. I just want to understand, how do they then intend to get that money back, though we know that there is a liquidator process is there. The other issue, we're told greener pastures, that includes the MM. Maybe can we be told the whereabouts? I suspect is it private business that you said? She mentioned private and public. If it's public, even if it's private, how are they intending to recover the wasted money?
Okay.
For the because that money was supposed to deliver services to the municipality. Thank you, Chair.
Colleagues, we will take no more than 10 minutes on this VBS matter as we get responses, and then we drill into the audit matters. Right, let's get responses. We'll start with there's quite a number of questions. Can they be responded to? MPEC, please also get ready to give a response. What we'll start with the mayor. Madam Mayor, we'll start with you.
Okay. Chairperson, I'll try to clarify this issue again, that the suspensions were made on the report that was presented to the municipality. Later, we received the investigation report from the province. And the two reports were not talking the same issues. Hence, we sought for the intervention from the provincial office, and that brought us to the decision that was taken by the department to investigate. And I want to agree with Ms. Dolashi that I understand my responsibility as the mayor. Hence, I said we are not resting on this issue of VBS. We are on top of it. Hence, we also, in each and every, I had sessions where I sit with the MPEC chair. And we will talk about issues that affect the municipality and how far have they, he will ask how far have we gone on the other issues that are affecting the municipality, on the issues of suspension and all that. We have time where we sit and talk about those issues. But the most important issue is that this thing of VBS, like I said, the investigation, when the report came to council, it was presented. Remember, the municipality knew about the investigation when VBS was not able to give the money back. I think that's where we are missing the point. When the investment was done, we never knew that there was an investment. The investment was done based on the investment policy that the municipality has. And it was done by junior officials. The signatures there, it was done by the junior officials. I think I need to take you there. And when the investment was done in December, and it was for 3 months, and in February, when the money was supposed to be back to the municipality, that's when we got the 20 million and the 30 million remained. And the officials, that's when they called and said, Mayor, you must know that we invested money. VBS is unable to give us money. I wasn't aware. Then I spoke to the acting municipal manager then, Memahole, that Memahole, there is this issue. Are you aware of this thing? Then she said, just like you, Mayor, I just heard about that thing, that as an institution, we invested that much. The executive mayor and the municipal manager were not informed about the investment.
Madam Mayor, may I just interrupt you for 1 second? Because you see, there's a complication which arises out of that explanation. Because if
monthly recons are being done.
I'm coming there.
So we want to know who was the acting. Okay, fine, you're coming there. All right, fine, let's wait for that.
Yeah. You make me to...
The acting MM said she was just made aware of this now. That's where you were.
Yeah, the acting municipal manager was not even aware about that. Then what happened is that it was in February. By that time, we couldn't get the Section 71. Our Section 71 report came late to be presented to the mayoral committee en route to council. In actual fact, we were supposed to get those every month, but they delayed. They came, almost the 3 month report came in February, and that's when we received that information that the money is not coming. So even our report, even when I spoke to the investigators, we were able to show each other that this is the proof that this Section 71 report came, but they came at the same time when we were informed that there is no, our money is not coming back. So hence we are sitting with this challenge. And the mistake that I agree with the committee that we made as the council is for allowing the municipal manager who was implicated, who was the CFO then, to appoint the investigating company. That's the mistake we made, and I accept that. I think other councillors will speak to that, but I think we have made a mistake. Because maybe because we thought when you appoint an investigating company, it will be an independent investigating company that will not want to dirty their image.
Who was this company that was?
Mavundlela.
Mavundlela?
Yeah.
Wasn't Mavundlela cited somewhere yesterday as well? Yeah, there was a,
You see, when an MM appoints an investigating company, he also set terms of reference. Hmm. Now, I need to get an understanding. Were the terms of reference set by the MM that was implicated? Because if that's the case, it explain why he was not cited.
He structured it to absolve himself.
Exactly.
No,
as simple as that.
Can I come in?
Yeah, all right, Madam Mayor, sure.
Yeah. There were no terms of reference as such. On the report,
an investigating company cannot investigate what they don't know. You tell them what is it that you are appointing them for, you sign that you are appointed to do A, B, C, 3.
Okay. Now, the terms of references, I believe they were signed because MM himself, by counsel, said the MM should investigate the DBS and the findings of the Auditor General. And we... Before the company in a municipality can work, we will always have to sign the service level agreement.
Yeah.
So I believe...
We need all of that as part of the bundle, Madam Mayor.
Yes. So there's no way there are no terms of reference.
No, but I think the implication is saying is
yes.
MM drafted terms of reference to suit his situation. That's what he's saying.
Maybe that one I can.
No, we will look at the terms of reference. Right? How much did they cost? I'm trying to tie down on this matter.
The cost
of Mvundle. How much did they cost us?
I think maybe the MM answered that one.
Chair, we don't
bigger now. See, when we submit all other outstanding documents, we'll work it out and submit.
The office that you can get before
okay.
It doesn't need the Monday submission.
Oh, we'll do that now.
Yeah, please,
the
that one
will
you can
do that.
Source.
Okay, all right.
Now, yeah. All right, let's go to the issue of human resources asked by Honorable Mente. Right, this is, yes.
Just before we go over, can we ask that they submit the investment policy as well?
Okay, the investment policy, Monday, 5 o'clock, that's fine. Right, human resource.
Chairperson, on the human resource issues, I am the person who was responsible for corporate support services during the suspension of the three said employees, and an advisory report was submitted to the Office of the Municipal Manager indicating the legal implications should we exceed the 90 days. Hence, a decision to lift the suspension was taken. And to date, what we have done after receiving the final report, we issued a letter to the prosecutor to continue with the matter, and that was done recently. It's a last week matter that we forwarded the correspondence to the prosecutor to continue with the matter.
All right. Then there's the question of the validity of the report, and of course the question is: did council adopt the provincial report, which now seems to be a stumbling block? Because it threw a spanner in the works. Was it ever adopted? I think that question came from Honorable Dulash. It was that, because it will answer the question of validity as well.
The provincial report is not yet adopted by council, as the executive mayor indicated that she was engaged in that regard. In my office, I don't even have the provincial report with me, but as soon as it's submitted, we have to enroll it to council.
So we are settled with the report, which is a stumbling block that is not even, quote-unquote, the property of the municipality. What standing does it have to there's a term in isiZulu, umgoqo. What's the status of it? Bob Sola, maybe you can unlock this one for us.
No, thanks, Chair. I've been listening here. You know, council is the authority over its own business. Whatever is done on its own behalf starts and stops with council. If that has not happened, it follows the logic that if you are going to base any decision on anything on behalf of council, which is not a repository of council's knowledge, that one is off in terms of legality. Secondly, is the fact that the acting MM has indicated to us that they acted on the basis of the draft report, and council as well looked into that draft report, and it became council's report even before the report by the investigators was finalized. I think that's what she was saying. I don't know whether the final report by the investigator has itself been tabled for council's consideration, for it to be a property of council. And if not, it ought to follow such processes so that whatever you instruct anybody to act on, it should indeed have its own authenticity as the document that council has authenticated. If that has not happened, you can't prefer us with what council has not been preferred of, because it remains document. So even if you want to prefer us with any other document, it should be the document that council would have somewhat adopted. That's where COCTA on any intervention fails to somewhat observe, because COCTA does not have final locus standi. in terms of the council preserve, in terms of those decisions. It has to be adopted by council. That's why it becomes so difficult to act at any instance if council does not adopt such reports. The fact that the mayor went to premier, I calmed her. Yeah.
So the meeting of political heads.
It does not necessarily meet the standard if it's not tabled for council's adoption. So yeah. Council must be preferred with such kind of determination. And even ourselves, that council can challenge us if those documents were never preferred for council's consideration. They are not council's documents. There's no record. There is no decision, resolution of council in terms of adopting or rejecting such documents, something which is very necessary.
Democratically suppress all of you, exercise democratic dictatorship, so that, colleagues, I think what is fundamentally clear is that we came here to ask the question, what killed the patient. We have been able to answer that question. In terms of systems, operations, any other question you ask, you're going to land into the same. So I'm going to make a proposal, colleagues, that we suspend the Madibank hearing because we're not going to make any further headway or anything else. Because we still have got municipalities that must return. Once we have studied the documents that they would have requested, then we'll schedule them for that particular day. Pokwane is coming back. I think we must place it in the same basket. Because the fact that there's an administrator on its own tells us, the AG's report tells us. So we've had now almost 2 hours of a discussion which has come to a corner. And we are unearthing everything else on the basis of one example in terms of just how fundamentally flawed process is. Whether you're looking at HR, or you're looking at the independence or investment, consequence management, the entire basket. Why there's no service delivery, why there are challenges, it's all very prevalent. So I think, colleagues, can we, because the team of Madibank will still be here, can we suspend for now this one? We will continue with the rest of the delegations from Ligwe, and then at the end, we'll come back in and we'll take a decision on how we move forward. So can we apply our minds during this? But I think it's very clear now for us. We now know why we are here. It's very clear, right? Honorable Mente, I will take you. Honorable Makhau, and then you said quick 10 seconds each. And then Mam Tulasha will round it up for us. As this is her, you've got your work cut out, Ma. Right, Honorable Mente?
No, Chair, just one area. Can you please outline which documents they must bring when they come back?
Right.
Because that's where we get everything wrong. Where DC matters, which the MM is talking to, when was it instituted, what's the follow-up, what's the status?
Okay.
Same applies to all expenditures that are flawed and every finding of the AG, they must respond to it and what are the actions. Detail each and every contract under irregular, fraudulent, unauthorized. What were you paying? Who were you paying? Who was responsible? What happened to that person if they were at fault?
What we'll do is with that, when they come back, members will prepare the list of things they want. Dando will help us consolidate that list properly with Tombi, and then we'll take it from there. So I think that's correct, so that we can move on. Right, Honorable Makhau?
Thank you, Chairperson. Only one thing I would like to know from the administrator. You know, the history is telling us that when there is intervention, 159 intervention, whether it's 154, when the administrator left the institution, it goes back to its initial problem. What measures are in place to make a point that all what you have done there, at least, will have a positive impact? Because the experience is telling us when the administrator left the institution, it goes back to square one.
Okay. You will, administrator, you will...
you will have an opportunity to submit a report on your roadmap in terms of how you want to proceed, right, sir?
Thank you, Chair. The resolution taken by council to lift the suspension, please can we have that as well, because there's further legal implications in terms of that if it hasn't been approved by council and so forth.
Okay.
And then on the administrator, that the intervention plan, was it before council? Did council adopt it as part of their plans as well? Because if council is part, is overhead of the executive, then they must be on board in terms of the intervention plan so they can move forward with it as well.
Honourable Somerset is covered, right? Honourable Gulash, are you fine? You? Oh, I thought you said Rushab, all right, Robson?
No, no. Just a second.
No?
For me.
No pressure.
I think as we things appear now, the municipality is under administration. And the administrator is on site. And it looks like Unyatela Pego Makanya. I could hear him when he was speaking initially with such a kind of figures. Is he aware of what is happening in that municipality? You know, because in his introductory comments, he spoke about bringing back financials, blah, 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 and so that and so forth. Is he really into what is happening in that municipality, such that what Honorable Moha was asking about would have been an achievement in totality thereafter? Maybe it's going to be contained in what we're talking about in terms of that roadmap, which we ought to receive as well as part of the documentation. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I'm happy that the Mighty Bank will still have to come back with all the documentation that Honorable Manager outlined. However, I wish to say to, I'm not going to say anything to the administrator, but to the COCTA provincial. I think they must realize that they've got huge responsibility, because here there's confusion from the beginning, the lines of communication. I don't know where the premier come in. Maybe it's an arrangement, but it's unlawful arrangement, because it's not documented anywhere. So the COCTA has a huge responsibility to play a role, especially in Matibeng, Honorable Chairperson. We need to get some briefing from what COCTA is doing in bringing this municipality to its stability, but also the land, because my fear, the AG does have teeth to bite. I'm not sure if Mayor is aware that this time around the AG is going to bite, according to the MFMA. So the COCTA is also a responsibility to workshop that to our honorable executives, that within no time we might see them wearing a yellow outfit because of all this. Not because we hate them, but it's a reality that is now confronting us. You know, we don't want to plunge people in a situation where they'll find themselves and cry to everybody else except to themselves. So COCTA needs to move with a speed, especially in Northwest, Matibeng, because a lot of things are beginning to come out. And lastly, I think before we meet with Matibeng Chairperson, I'm not sure when, we should meet with our sister.
Yeah,
because I think all issues that are raised here, they belong to them, because everything that has been said, the case has been bungled. Period. Doesn't matter how you want to interpret it. There's no case in Matibeng against the people who took the taxpayers' money to VPS. If you hear all this that has been said here. So we need that sister of ours to take us out of this kind of a scenario. Thank you, Chair. The sister is SIU.
Thank you, Chair. Now that Matibeng is under administration, I hope to believe that the financial recovery plan that has been developed and approved by council. And then the other issue is with regard to somebody's residue, the regard to the administrator's role, vis-a-vis the council's role, and the municipal's role during the intervention. I hope that is clarified. And then the other issue with regard to the implementation of the financial recovery, because they are concerned that once the administrator leaves, you might find that that's what normally happens in fact. The municipalities go back to square zero. Maybe the chair, I hear the chair of the audit committee is here, will also be able to appraise us on that one. And then can I also recommend that moving forward, though Madiven is going to come back, can the mayor and the MM always let it be a standing item that they give us progress with regard to the resolution of their financial problems, including the financial recovery plans, because this is our concern. Then otherwise these meetings will just become futile. Yeah, thanks.
That phone, please, my 1,000 rand. Yeah, so whoever it is, be honest and just we'll fundraising for charity. Colleagues, right, Madibeng, we will, colleagues, if all the things that you want submitted, if you can just construct them nicely, hand them to Untando, and we'll do a consolidated list, and Dombi, and we will, I think some of them have already been aptly captured. I think, to be in power short of the record. Wesley, I think my honoured MP Umam Dolash has insisted that there's no case. I think that's qualified. That should remain qualified. If they continue doing things this way, there will be no case. So it should not appear that here we said there's no case. Yeah. If certain things don't happen or things continue as they are, indeed there will be no case.
Okay. Yeah. So final hand.
Chairperson, I just wanted to find out if it's not possible for us to invite the MEC of Coxter.
It is, but it's the... I've noted Cocktail's hand. We'll come to Cocktail. We just want to... it's a provincial legislature line function, but we will communicate with Cocktail and the minister on that particular one, but I flag it. Look, I think here's the issue. There's no disagreement. We have to adopt this municipality as a priority municipality in terms of turnaround. And so when we structure our resolutions, colleagues, I will emphatically recommend to you that we get monthly reports on the areas that you will cite that the municipality must brief us on. The administrator can continue on his work, but on the areas of concern to us, we'll get that so that this exercise is not in futility. We may want to schedule an oversight visit as well to Madibeng, a focused one, which of course would be in collaboration with the provincial scoper, I suppose, and then interact with the MEC. That would be a practical way forward. Right, have you got the figure, say, of how much the contractor, the Mvundle, cost us? We have not received it. So I think let us, we will leave it at that. Colleagues, you will make that submission and we'll give a comprehensive list to the mayor. I saw Cocktail's hand.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe let me introduce myself. I'm Lois Onwaba from National Court. I just want to assist the community as we deal with Northwestern to understand that Northwest, out of all the 9 provinces, is under Section 100 of the Constitution. And as well, the provincial quarter you are actually referring to, one of the directives our minister issued when we conducted an assessment was that their organizational structure or their capacity is not fit for purpose to support local government. So a lot of damage has actually occurred, but we are trying to work on that process. The process is with DPSA now in terms of how they reposition themselves. And we profiled about 12 municipalities that are dysfunctional, and Madi Bing is part of those. And there are support plans that were developed to turn the situation around. But what, Chair, you must note in this meeting, in all the VPS matters that we dealt with in the Northwest, always council is divided. The Speaker of Madi Bing not being present here, it tells you a lot.
Okay, that's not so big allegations of that nature.
Those are some of the things that we must actually look deeply.
I think you must withdraw that.
Oh, okay.
Let's not make allegations of that nature. It muddies our water.
Okay.
So please withdraw that particular statement.
Okay, now I withdraw.
Can continue?
No, those were the few issues I just wanted to raise in terms of the capacity of COCTA and the directives.
National COCTA must, you do what you must do. We've raised our issues with you yesterday. The Deputy Minister has responded to some of them extensively, and we wanna, the PC on COCTA is working on those matters. Ours here remains the fundamental question. In the spaces that you are deployed and within the frameworks of the law, have you done that you were supposed to do? Why are you killing the patient? Let me change the question, because when you say what, it becomes abstract. Let's ask it that. Why are you killing the patient? That becomes the question. So we will deal with that. Am I getting my figure? Yes.
Whatever the structural arrangement, there's an MEC appointed by the premier. There's an MEC for COCTA now in the province. And that comes with entitlement and responsibilities. On the structural matters that have been attended to, understand that MEC has a responsibility in terms of the law. And if that MEC is to be invited to meetings, that MEC must come. Because that's the MEC for local government in the province.
What I want to say is that this process must also be understood that it was an unprecedented step that the committee took. Parliament has never engaged in this exercise of calling municipalities, because fundamentally we recognize the problem that for the longest of time oversight and accountability has been absent in that space. So this is a work in process, and we will be ensuring that we bring this matter to a logical conclusion. AG, is AG here? AG Northwest. One request, please, that please communicate to AG. See, this 30 million rand that is still stuck at VPS is a material misstatement. It's a material issue. So we've been saying use your teeth to bite. We've lost 30 million rand. Let's use this as an example of those new powers that have been given to the AG as a test case. How serious are you as well? Because we also have issue with the somewhat slow pace of that implementation. So if you can devise a program, we will interact with AG, but it's something that I think you must look at so that we can issue the notice of that to the one who gave the instruction for that unlawful cause of action. So AG, we thank you as well for your work and the briefings that you gave us. I saw you walked when you started. Welcome. Right, colleagues, we will suspend Madi Bing for now as we finalize their matters. And then at that point, Madam Mayor, when you come back, we'll give you an opportunity to make your concluding remarks when you receive from the committee exactly what it is that you want. So you will not leave having not spoken. We will sort you out and give you ample time and so that members finalize their requests. Our administrative team is consolidating that, unless there's something particularly urgent now. Is there's anything particularly now, but I wanted to give you ample time once you've heard what the members, so you will get the chance to you will not leave having not done so. Then you'll give us your reaction and then we'll tie it down on the matters. Right, colleagues, so provisionally we suspend the discussion on Madibeng. Honorable Somi, are you ready? Right, is the team from Likop now in its full complement?
Yes.
Right, where are they? Your late arrival colleagues, we underline it. And I request humbly that we make space if you may. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Right, Liko, if you can take your seats there. Hashtag I'm coming back. Colleagues, there is fresh tea for those who had not received it. It's served at the back. Can I just ask that the tea station does not become a caucus spot or a meeting place? If you wish to, please take your caucus outside.